mind seemed to whirl. I have crawled through the consoles, wound my way carefully past safeguards and cybernets, taking care to damage nothing, and I have laid rough hands on that great crystal, knowing it is where she lives. And I cannot bring myself to wipe it. Royd's ghost has asked me not to. Last night we talked about it once again, over brandy and chess in the lounge. Royd cannot drink, of course, but he sends his specter to smile at me, and he tells me where he wants his pieces moved. For the 1,000th time, he offered to take me back to Avalon, or any world of my choice, if only I would go outside and complete the repairs we abandoned so many years ago, so the Nightflyer might safely slip into Star Drive. For the 1,000th time, I refused. He is stronger now, no doubt. Their genes are the same, after all. Their power is the same. Dying, he too found the strength to impress himself upon the great crystal. The ship is alive with both of them, and frequently they fight. Sometimes she outwits him for a moment, and the Nightflyer does odd, erratic things. The gravity goes up or down or off completely. Blankets wrap themselves around my throat when I sleep. Objects come hurtling out of dark corners. Those times have come less frequently of late, though. When they do come, Royd stops her, or I do. Together, the Nightflyer is ours. Royd claims he is strong enough alone, that he does not really need me, that he can keep her under check. I wonder. Over the chessboard, I still beat him 9 games out of 10. And there are other considerations. Our work, for one. Karoli would be proud of us. The Volkrin will soon enter the mist of the Tempter's Veil, and we will follow close behind, studying, recording, doing all that old DeBrannon would have wanted us to do. It is all in the computer and on tape and paper as well, should the system ever be wiped. It will be interesting to see how the Volkrin thrives in the Veil. Matter is so thick there, compared to the thin diet of interstellar hydrogen on which the creature has fed so many endless eons. We have tried to communicate with it, with no success. I do not believe it is sentient at all. And lately, Royd has tried to imitate its ways, gathering all his energies in an attempt to move the Nightflyer by Teki. Sometimes, oddly, his mother even joins with him in those efforts. So far they have always failed, but we will keep trying. So goes our work. We know our results will reach humanity. Royd and I have discussed it, and we have a plan. Before I die, when my time is near, I will destroy the central crystal and clear the computers. And afterwards, I will set course manually for the close vicinity of an inhabited world. The Nightflyer will become a true ghost ship then. It will work. I have all the time I need, and I am an improved model. I will not consider the other option, although it means much to me that Royd suggested again and again. No doubt I could finish the repairs, and perhaps Royd could control the ship without me and go on with the work. But that is not important. I was wrong so many times. The Esperon, the monitors, my control of the others, all of them my failures, payment for my hubris. Failure hurts. When I finally touched him for the first and last and only time, his body was still warm, but he was gone already. He never felt my touch. I could not keep that promise, but I can keep my other. I will not leave him alone with her, ever.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Nightflyers, by George R. R. Martin, read by Adenrale Ojo. Text copyright 1980-1981 by George R. R. Martin. Production copyright 2007, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.